Thank you, Lee. Well, Warren started off saying he was doing the 5K, and then Cal said, well, he had to do it in 50 minutes because that's what he was programmed for. And so I'm going to do 50 slides in 10 minutes. So it'll be a different kind of a marathon. I graduated on December 31st of 2012 and started with an NGO on January 3rd. Now, I said I graduated because when I had my retirement party, it was as a graduation party with pomp and circumstance as a part of it. I had taught 28 different courses over the years, and so I figured, might as well graduate with that many courses. And of course, graduation says you're moving on to something new. It's not the end of the road. And so I share that with Warren because what I went on to is to go to work for an NGO group that is called Compatible Technology International, abbreviated CTI. It's a nonprofit that designs and distributes tools for collaboration with small farmers and their communities to improve food and water security in developing countries. Biggest focus is on Africa. Compatible Technology is more than 35 years old now, started by food engineers initially from General Mills, but then later involved people from Cargill and Green Giant. The initial claim to fame was to develop a grinder that is capable of grinding any kind of dry plant material. And the key to it is a burr that is hardened and machined. And as I said, will grind any kind of plant materials. The latest version of it is a sheet metal welded one with double bearings that allows it to be motorized as well as to be hand cranked. I got involved with the project in 2010. Actually, before I retired, I was on a phased retirement. One of my colleagues had started working with CTI to grow plants on the St. Paul campus to be used as test material. Well, about the 1st of September, he said, Vern, I'm going on sabbatical. Will you take over? And so I assisted the CTI people with the plots that they had. They invited me to a meeting on their facilities and said, we need somebody to work on groundnuts. We've got this project, we're supposed to develop a sheller, and we don't have anybody to really do the work. The program was in Tanzania and Malawi, and the things that we found were that most of the small farmers had about 4/10 of a hectare of groundnuts. We did surveys in a number of the areas. Lilongwe, 2.8 acres per farmer. Notice English and metric. Lilongwe, or Malawi, is an English country originally, or at least an English territory. And so the farmers use acres in the technical language, why you use the metric system. But you can see the size of the operations. But we did interviews with 240 households, both men and women, to assess what were their needs. Now, Malawi is a landlocked country south of Tanzania, to the west of Zambia, and to the east of Mozambique. A small country, but very poor. We asked the question, what are the household assets in your production? Hoes, axes, sickles, machetes, bicycle, mobile phones, ox carts, and plows. The two most common things were the hoe and the machete and bicycles. No tractors. Then when asked, what were the things that were most difficult about the groundnut production? Lifting, stripping, and shelling were the most onerous task that they did by their own assessment. And of course, the lifting is still done primarily by the women using short-handled hoes. We introduced a lifter drafted, pulled by oxen, and tested it in both Tanzania and in Malawi. Works very well in Malawi because they plant on ridges in rows, and it lends itself very nicely to using the lifter. Can be operated by men or women, and at least in Malawi, they are a Christian country, and so they have no objections to the women doing the work, as long as it's on the tail end. They can't be driving the oxen. The lifter that we developed is light enough that it can be carried by one person. This was the initial one. The later one was built a little bit heavier, but two individuals can easily move it around. We made a transition between the wheel on the front on the later one versus the skid plate, which was simple to design, but the farmers didn't like it. So after assessment in the field, changes were made. We looked at hand stripping. The women sit around after the pods have been, plants have been dried, removing the pods one pod at a time. By looking at several different kinds of strippers, the third version that I came up with is this A-frame, which allows two women to work simultaneously. And it's nothing more than chain link fencing that allows the pods to drop through, and as you drag the plants across, it strips the pods off. This is an indication of the kind of volume you get out. It's about three times the amount that the women get doing it by one pod at a hand. Shelling, traditionally done again by the women by hand, versus our first version of the sheller was a what we called a disc plate. It simply used deck plating, turning against a screen to and at a wedge to rub the pods and allow the nuts to drop out. This was a in-country version built to the design that I made. And then in the background there, you see another version that a local machine company adopted, and we are now working with that machine company. Their version initially had these metal plates or paddles, about 45% breakage of the seats. We've remodeled, reworked with them, put rubber paddles in, and then created a grill according to nut size. So we've got screens that are 8 millimeter, 10 millimeter, 12 millimeter, and 14 millimeter based upon the genetic type of groundnut. And this gives you a little bit of indication of the capacity. The women shelling by hand get 2 kilos an hour, 1.2 kilos per hour. With the machine, we're up to as much as 40 kilos an hour with hand power. Looking at it in a little different way, 1 hectare of groundnuts yields only about 1,000 pounds of pods, or 1,000 kilos of pods. Traditionally, the lifting takes 10 days, the stripping 16 days, and the shelling 80 days to do 1 hectare. A total of 106 days, a third of the year spent doing their groundnuts. With the CTI tools that we designed and developed, tested in Malawi, 2.3 days to lift, 5.2 days stripping, and 4.5 days shelling. The second project that we worked on is in Senegal, working on a pearl millet thresher. Some 230,000 farmers, or about 95% of them are small farmers. Yields are low, but again, very labor intensive. Most of it is done with mortar and pestle. 13% broken and taking or yielding only about 11 kilos an hour. This is kind of what it looks like once they've harvested. It stands in bundles like this until they're ready to thresh. They thresh with the mortar and pestle, all by women, winnowed by women. And when we tested with our CTI Pearl Millet devices, the first set of devices were three devices, a stripper, a thresher, and a winnower. Well, that sounded good. This is the output that the women got when they did by the mortar pestle, about 11 and a half kilos an hour. With our wonderful tools that we developed, by the time you did all three of them, we were only getting 5.6 kilos an hour. The women didn't particularly like that. It didn't improve, other than the fact that it increased the actual productivity or the quality of the product. One of the things that we did do that is unique is that we had women, 75 women from different villages, bring two bundles of their pearl millet, one to be threshed with mortar and pestle, one to be threshed with the CTI equipment. The data said the women were doing better and getting more yield. Didn't seem to make much sense. I looked at the data, and there was a great deal of non-conformity. Roughly half of the women did not represent the same person. It was in the family household. One woman did the mortar and pestle, and the other one did use the machines. Or they had different varieties in their two bundles. Or they had different number of heads. So I looked at the data and sorted them out. And once you did that, the mortar pestle or the machines did actually do a better job. This is what the 3-in-1, but the women didn't like it because it was one head at a time. This was my first drum thresher. We added a table to it so you could dump a bunch of heads on it. You get then one head at a time going into the thresher. The thresher is a drum with expanded metal on it, has expanded metal as the screen for threshing against. It takes actually two screens to do the complete threshing, but here's heads and then those that have been run through the thresher. This is what the seed looks like. Get almost no breakage, and it's 97-98% free of any florets as you look at the threshed out grain. And the machine will do about 50 kilos an hour by hand. If we put a motor on it, 4-horsepower motor, we can get over 100 kilos an hour. And this is what the latest version looks like. There is interest in trying to adapt this to do rice, lentils, and cowpeas. And here we are delivering in Senegal. Transportation is a problem. And this is my fellow crewmates at CTI that worked on developing these different tools. And with that, my 50 slides in 12 minutes. Thank you, Murray. He told me 10.